You're listening to 90 Day Soulmate with the Relationship Engineers, Jim Golnick and Lisette Guevara, only on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome to 90 Day Soulmate with Lisette
and Jim.
Oh, today we've got a power-packed program for you. We do. It is on the action antidote to anxiety, where action and anxiety can't exist in the same place at the same time. That's what it's about. So a lot of different therapies are based upon action. And we've always talked about is when you're busy doing something, it's really hard to worry about something else.
Yeah, when your mind is focused on doing something.
You have the therapy, right, that you used to talk about when you were in Venezuela, that if somebody was complaining about something, you would take them into an area that was really tough, a very difficult area, like you said, an orphanage, and you'd show them.
Yes. That is a good therapy. So when the people complain, oh, my kid no wanna eat, soup because it's not good, I bring, come in to see how some kids don't have auction to the food, and then see all these kind of the other war that we don't see and value what you have.
So now they've got a new thought in their mind. But the other thing is if they are volunteering to help at that orphanage, and in there they're considering others, and they're helping other people get along and improve their lives.
And they are so happy. It's amazing how the group, they're working in the house, always is optimist people, smile, happy, and is help others. So
even before we get into the show, much of what we want to suggest is if you can volunteer, if you can give a little portion of your time back to something, whether it's an orphanage, whether it's a dog rescue, whether it's helping older people in a home.
Cleaning the forest.
Something that you join a group and you do something that's bigger than yourselves. That's one of the things that I think today's youth are really wanting to be involved with, something bigger than themselves.
Yeah.
But I think we can all aspire to that, right?
In one way.
Meaning that if we do something that's bigger than ourselves, like I know this show is a little bit bigger than ourselves, but we're trying to reach more people. And it's an endeavor that we have to learn something new each week. We need to do a presentation. We want to make it impactful. We hope that even just one person hears our message and is changed.
Right? You feel that the important point, I guess, here is when you feel that you can help others. And you help yourself in the moment.
Definitely.
When you help yourself, you can help others. You cannot do help others if you not help yourself.
You need to help others first. And that makes sense, is that in order to help others, I said that backwards. You need to help yourself in order to help others.
Yeah.
Also putting yourself in a position to help others, you are helping yourself.
And your mind changed because when I see people anxious, it's focusing on yourself. So you are just, I can say it's a little selfish.
In a way,
because it's just you, your world. You are the victim of the world. So see outside. So see how you can impact and go away others, and your mind change the position.
So we're not saying that it takes away, that things that are bothering you or bothering us, that they're not important. But the focus on those things create the anxiety. It's an old expression of know the things you can change and change them, and know the things you can't and don't worry about them.
Yeah.
And it's something like that expression. But the point is that if you worry about things you can't change, then you have this anxiety. And if you focus on the things you can change, you have the growth, the positive outcomes. And we're going to talk about that as part of the action plan, the action antidote to anxiety. Let's continue on with this with our first slide, which is going to be today's show. It's going to talk about, or the show's going to talk about, that's us, the action antidote to anxiety. We're going to go through the 5-step process of the action antidote. The power of thought. What does thought do, and what can it do for us, not only in creating those emotions that we feel create stress, but the ability to change our thoughts and have positive thoughts and understanding who we are so we can decide what we want to become and how we want to change. And so that's the power of thought. Before we can take action, we have to go through thought. Thought versus action, that's really cool. Mm-hmm. Is that there is action. You can have active thought or you can have passive thought. And we're going to talk about that as well. Active and passive thought. Also CBT, cognitive behavioral therapy, and NLP, neuro-linguistic programming. We're not going to talk so much about them, but the concepts you'll hear today have a little bit of connection to each of those and the efficacy.
Yeah, a little spicy there. Each make a good dish.
A little spice of each, make a good dish. That's good. I like that.
Oh, that's fun.
I like it as well. So, step one, do we want to talk about slide one? Here's slide one, actually. So, today, we're going to discover a practical approach to managing anxiety through action. Based on established principles from cognitive behavioral therapy and neuro-linguistic programming, this is tailored to empower individuals towards personal growth and mental wellness by taking action. So sometimes we can sit back and we feel bad and sorry for ourselves, or we feel we're in a no-win situation, and it causes us to freeze. We just don't take action. So what we're trying to say is that really the only way to overcome that is figure out how to go from that stop, that frozen state, to that action and movement. And in action, not inaction, but in action, we can solve many of these situations and challenges. We want to have you engage with a cycle of thought, decision, discipline, action, and observation. That is the 5-step plan. Thought, decision, discipline, action, and observation. Each step is grounded in psychological strategies to break the cycle of anxiety. It's designed to foster resilience and proactive mental health management. Let's look at what that slide looks like. Here is the cycle, which you may have seen cycles like this in the past, right, from us?
Yeah.
Which have to do with quality management, organizations, love.
I can make a comment. I can improve the cycle.
You could.
Yeah. So what do we put again?
I'll put the cycle back up. Yes.
I can put the observation in the middle, because observation you can see in every step.
Okay.
And maybe replace observation for reflection. So when you have action, you thinking in yourself and you go back to the thought again.
Okay. So the observation here, and we'll go through each step, but the observation there is observing the results. So it's more of the result phase of this. Mm-hmm. But the observation in each phase is very important.
Yeah.
Am I thinking? How am I thinking? My decision I made, okay, I'll observe my decision. Did I make it biasedly, unbiasedly? Mm-hmm. Did I make it because of how I was feeling emotionally?
Exactly.
From an observation standpoint, am I using discipline? Am I really focused on doing this for 10 minutes a day or 1 minute a day? So the discipline of it and observing. So that's the, what is that, unbiased observation that we talk about a lot.
Yeah.
What else do we have here? We can look at observation of our action. The action we're doing, as we're doing it, we need to be able to understand, are we moving towards what we're trying to achieve or not? Is our anxiety lessening? And then finally, the result, which is the final observation piece. What was the end result after this cycle? And do we want to put in new thoughts in order to have a new decision, a new disciplined action to get to that next step? So it is iterative. Right?
An iterative process. I can see like the spiral.
A spiral up. A spiral down. We want to spiral up.
There you go.
So that's what we want to do. Good. Now, this is the problem with thought.
What is that?
Well, thinking is a problem. that most of our problems come from thinking.
Mm-hmm.
Overthinking, underthinking, wrong thinking, biased thinking, future thinking, past thinking, present thinking, right? But it's a problem is that our thoughts are what create most of our anxiety.
Mm-hmm.
It may not be what's actually happening. We may be misreading something that's going on at work because of how we feel. We may not feel as capable as we want to be in something we do, and therefore we're anxious about how others are going to judge us,
mm-hmm.
right? Or we haven't been as disciplined as we know we could be, and again, we're anxious because, one, maybe we're not getting the result, or two, we see others who are more disciplined, and we, again, feel like, oh, they're judging me, they don't know my situation, they don't know my family situation, they don't know my time constraints, they don't know I owe all this money on my student loans, I have car payments, and this stuff is just stressing me out, and so I need to focus on enjoying life and having fun.
And not thinking.
And not thinking about tomorrow.
I like this song.
So let's think about thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
More so, thoughts can have a time frame. They can be the past, they can be the present, they can be the future. So we're able to travel in time in our thoughts,
mm-hmm.
right? So we're not stuck in the now. We're not stuck in the reality of what's happening right now, right? In our thoughts. Our thoughts can be anywhere. But when we do that, our focus can be positive, negative, or neutral. So when we look at the future, look at the past, look at the present, we can be looking at it positively, negatively, or neutral, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we make judgments.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times we can project, right? We project something rather than create an expectation that may be positive. We may project something negative that's going to happen. And I remember an old story about somebody saying when you're riding a motorcycle, you want to look to where you want to go, not to where you're trying to avoid. Like, you don't want to look at the car you're trying to avoid because you'll turn right to it. And a lot of times with our problems, the same thing happens. We have a situation in the future and we keep focusing on it. And because we're focusing on the problem, we're not seeing the alternatives to that problem. And we're looking at the future again. We're not looking at the present to what can I do now to make the change,
mm-hmm.
and what changes can I make?
And it depends on the program that everybody has, because it identify the code that you have in your program, help to verify, because some people maybe is so positive or some people is so negative, you know what I mean?
Sure.
And the unbalance can be neutral to see objective something.
So let's talk about two personality traits and how they impact thought.
Mm-hmm.
The two traits I want to talk about is conscientiousness and neuroticism. That with conscientiousness, we can feel we're responsible. We're responsible for what happened in the past. We're responsible for what's going to happen in the future. And we're responsible for what we are doing right now. So we're very conscientious about all these things. And we feel that we have direct correlation, a direct impact on our ability to make a change, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we feel responsible. That's conscientiousness. Now, people who are less conscientious may say, it's completely out of my hands.
Mm-hmm.
And then somebody who may be more of a realist is, some is out of my hands, some I can change.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Now, going back to neuroticism, that is where we're worrying and we're anxious and we're frozen. That when we are really neurotic, when we're very emotional about worry, you know, we're worried about what's going to happen in the future, we can freeze.
Mm-hmm.
And when we freeze, we may just get into this state of, one, not moving, not taking action.
Mm-hmm.
What else happens when we freeze?
So in the chemical way, when you are worried for something, you know, you create some chemical in your body. And we're talking about when I don't remember the name, but the chemical that activate when you are scared.
Okay.
And then if in the past you're scared, you're running because make energy and you escape. But we are right now in the life that you are scared in the office.
Oh.
And you're not running, and then you start to accumulate all these.
So you live in an adrenaline society. Like you're scared, so you have adrenaline in you, and it's creating nervousness. And the adrenaline starts your heart to beat more rapidly. It can create bad health situations.
Bad health situation because you have a long term in this scared.
So when you go to eat. And you have adrenaline, your stomach doesn't want to digest the food, so you don't feel good.
Yeah.
It may change your body chemistry. Being in fear is not
it's
good.
Not healthy, yeah.
Not healthy.
And people don't know maybe it's in fear, because sometimes it's a soft fear.
Mm.
You don't want to use your job, that you don't want to use your relationship, that you don't want to lose, that your kid is growing well or bad. So you are this all worrying in your mind. And create your own problem.
And then you can create the, not only can't I do anything about it, like I feel I'm a victim and I can't, but now you're frozen because you think maybe you don't know enough to do something about it. You don't have the time. You're stretched in so many different directions. And when we come back, we're going to talk more about action as the antidote to anxiety.
Tired of attracting the wrong type of guy, it was time to give something else a try. She got her computer and started to plan and created a process to find her man. Soon she went on a perfect date, and then she knew it must be fate. In just 90 days, that is all it took. How she found her match? It is in the book.
Welcome back to 90 Day Soulmate with Lizette
and Jim.
So today we're talking about action as the antidote to anxiety. In the middle of our little break there, we were looking up some of the chemicals, and then it reminded me of, we were talking about when you are in fear, and we've done things on evolutionary psychology where, you know, one of the well-known traits that everyone has is fear, one of the emotions. And what happens with fear, as your body tenses up, it also starts shutting off your prefrontal cortex, right? So your ability to logically think. Now, under anxiety, under worry, under fear, your brain is less able to process information logically. So you make worse decisions. So people who are under a lot of stress, a lot of worry, a lot of anxiety, in fear, tend to have a harder time making a good decision. So it's that downward spiral instead of the upward spiral. Right?
I like the concept. Yes, you go down.
You go down because now I can't make the right decision. I make a wrong decision. I'm more anxious. I'm more fearful. I'm more worrisome. And then I make another bad decision. It's almost like somebody who is in a job and they get to a point in their job where it's like, okay, there's no coming back. I've done so poorly that I just can't do it correctly, and you're at that point where you're just like, everything I do is wrong. I want to give up.
Yeah.
Yes, it's probably happened to me in my life at some point that there's a point where you're just like, this is you're just not the right fit. It could happen in a relationship. You know, you're trying stuff, and the more you try, the worse the relationship goes, which means you're more stressed, more anxious, and so you make more bad decisions, which creates downward
cycle.
And also
cycle. Impact your relationship, impact your job, impact your friend, impact, so you go down to all because it's the spiral. We can go like this.
Spiral, downward spiral.
Like
the flushing toilet.
Yeah,
there goes the relationship.
Yeah.
There goes the job.
Everything.
There goes.
And you say, oh, is this a bad moment in my life? Is this maybe because it's a consequence?
There goes my rock career.
Yeah.
I'm not going to be a rock star guy anymore. Sorry. So let's go on with, here is something that I was looking up about anxiety, and this fit right with what we were talking about, that conscientiousness can help us deal with anxiety. That if you are present, be present. Be present in today, where you are, who you're with. Be connected to those people. Be connected to groups. Be connected to organizations. Be connected to your friends, your intimate partner.
Mm-hmm.
see, hear, touch, taste, and smell. Meaning, when you're connected to those things around you, focused on the now, it's hard to be worried about the future. In fact, when you start to, what is it called? When you start to smell the roses, there's a real impact. We can make change right now that affects the future, which we're going to talk about in a little bit as well.
So the brain is other muscle that you need to train. Like the, you train your arm, you train your leg. You can train your muscle brain. And typically I recommend do the outer scan. So if you practice every day, like the 5 times per day, scan yourself right now. So how you smell? How is the temperature of the room?
Right.
How is your back in the chair? How is my hand moving? How is my face? So I am here right now.
Yes.
So doing this practice in the morning when you take a coffee, and the afternoon when you have the lunch, and you drive in your car, or you sitting to watch TV, and your brain start to learn, oh, I am here.
Do I need to put my phone down for this?
I guess.
Oops.
Yeah.
So that's something that I think as a society, we've all become more disconnected with what's going on right here and now because of our constant connection to our social group, to media.
Yeah, I have the experience there. I was in the place waiting and 10 people sitting around me, and I just observed, and it's almost 10 minutes observing
10 people in the same room, and none of them connected to anybody in that room.
Nobody watching the face with anybody. Everybody's with the phone in the hand. I say, wow.
It's like the family who goes out to dinner, and all the kids are there at the table, and the husband and the wife or the partners, and no one's talking to each other. In fact,
and your brain is start to training like that. So when you remove that, you feel anxious. Oh my God, I disconnect. I need, so this is calm yourself because you have this.
Yeah, so it's a habit, huh?
It's a habit.
Yeah. It's like cigarettes.
Mm-hmm.
It's the mental addiction, like a cigarette would be, both chemical and mental.
Yeah.
Well, the phone has become
addiction.
Addiction.
It's addiction. Yeah.
Hmm. Don't worry, though. It's not that bad. Or is it?
Mm-hmm.
Who knows? One other thing that we had on here was, you cannot both be worried about the future and intensely aware of the present. Does that make sense? That you can't both be worried about the future and intensely aware of the present. That if you're focused on the present and everything that's going on, it removes the worry of the future.
Yeah.
It's like distraction.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's called a positive distraction. Distract yourself into things that are good for you. That makes sense. I think so. So step one, do we want to get into step one?
Sure.
Step one of the 5-step plan. Thought, the foundation of change. Reflecting on desires, needs, and possibilities sets the groundwork for actionable decisions. Reflect on your current state and visualize desired outcomes. Do a gap analysis. Remember we were talking before the show about the gap analysis?
Mm-hmm.
We have it in this book, right? The gap analysis of relationships. So if you are not in a relationship and you want to be, look at where you are, what happened in your past relationships, look at how you would like to have a different future relationship, and you look at what the gap is. What do I want to do differently? What do I need to do differently to achieve a different outcome? So gap analysis works for everything. Doesn't it?
Yeah, yeah. And so the people believe if I keep going doing the same, you have the same result. So you need to
change. That's insanity.
Mm-hmm.
The third point there, psychological research shows that clear visualization can enhance motivation and clarify goals. And finally, thought framing sets the stage for effective decision making. Meaning you frame your thoughts around something specific instead of just having random thoughts. You may write down some notes, like when we talk about the charts in the book. You know, what was my upbringing? And let me think about that specifically. So by giving yourself targeted little things to think about, you then focus on those things. If you don't have targets to think about, and what they call them is like a stake in the sand, something to tie thoughts to, your thoughts are scattered. And when your thoughts are scattered, That's where anxiety can come in.
You have to document. So you need to put in round. You cannot say, oh, yes, I know. It's in my mind. No.
I know exactly what I want.
Yeah.
I want a vanilla ice cream cone. Unless I've got chocolate, then I want chocolate.
I don't know what did you call
it. That was, you just said you, it's in your mind. And so, you know how like some people change their mind all the time. Mm-hmm. You know anybody like that?
Yeah. I live with some.
Could be like that. Then, that is great. Published research. I like this. Published research that was in the October 2022 issue of Nurse Education Today was on the effects of visualization meditation on the health and well-being and achievement-oriented motivation levels of 80 nursing students. A personal information form, the achievement-oriented motivation scale, and the stress, anxiety, depression scale were administered to these students as the pretest. They then went through this visualization meditation for 8 weeks, where it happened for 20 minutes in each of these sessions, and the students were giving post-tests. The results were significant increase in achievement-oriented motivation and a decrease in the stress, anxiety, and depression. So focused, and the point of this was focused meditation and visualization on positive things reduced
the
stress levels and increased the motivation. So by focusing on your goals and kind of meditating, meditation might just be, and you can have active meditation or you can have passive meditation where you kind of just think and meditate. But active meditation would be like journaling. Mm-hmm. Would be putting together a, what do you call that? The chart where you put all the pictures on?
The board.
The board. The vision board.
Vision board.
The vision board. When you do that, those are active participations in meditation. I call it awake meditation.
Yeah, but again, I know people say it's difficult to me have meditation because my mind thinking in the past or in the future, I need to do my suitcase because I travel tomorrow. Mm. So the meditation part is okay. You go there, you're thinking in the suitcase, and then you're coming back and here. So it is the exercise when you put your mind back to you and relax, gentle, okay? It's not stressful. So that is the day you are here right now. So you go to the past, I forget that, or you go to the future, but you're coming back here.
You try to ground yourself. And so by doing this, it's like a workout. You're mm-hmm. you're getting better at doing it the more you do it. Okay, yeah. I can understand that.
Mm-hmm. So people can also use many videos. There is guideline meditation. So you put some video and you too, and then the people listen, okay, thinking in your breath, thinking in your mouth. So you follow this instruction help too. So.
Got it. Mm. So I want to bring up a couple of interesting things here. One is in the thought process, the number one step, again, metacognition is the awareness of one's thought processes and an understanding of the patterns behind them, knowing why you think the way you do. Self-reflection pertains to the ability to think about oneself, and self-certainty involves the ability to potentially doubt and even consider alternative ways to think about a given event. These are three powerful things when you're in the thought process of this action plan to address anxiety. One is, again, that you understand the way you think. How come you have the patterns you have? To be able to self-reflect on these, and the ability to think about yourself is like, let me think about myself. Let me think about how I feel. Let me think about how I think. And then finally, self-certainty involves the ability to potentially doubt and even consider alternative ways. That if you have strong self-certainty, that you can say, you know what? I am able to think differently. I'm able to change my mind. I'm able to pick a new way of moving. And these three things are very important in the thought process. This is where we talk about being active in your thought process. Don't be passive. Oh, I am how I am. I am, I'm only because of my upbringing. How come I am the way I am?
Mm-hmm.
That when you are active in your thought process, you know you have the ability to change and develop a different way of thinking. Very important in the thought process. Okay, we've gone through the thought process, we've gone through where we are, and maybe the new direction we want to go in, what we want to address, the choice we want to make career-wise, the choices we want to make in a relationship, the thoughts we want to make in a hobby or where I want to live. You go through that, and now it's time for a decision. Mm-hmm. Step two, the decision, committing to a course of action is really powerful. That's where once you commit, you are really starting to address the anxiety because you are now on a path of taking control over your active participation in your own life, actively thinking and actively doing. Decision making in this pivotal step moves thoughts into actionable plans, creating the plans. Studies indicate that committed decisions reduce anxiety by providing a sense of control. Committed decision gives you control. Making informed decisions aligns resources and intentions towards achieving your personal goals. That makes sense?
Yeah.
It does. What else do we have here? Oh, here's a study. A study was done where it was anxiety, future career exploration behaviors, and future career indecision was investigated in students. A high-level anxiety was associated with a low level of future career exploration. So those students that didn't really think about their future and career had the highest level of anxiety. Anxiety, though, this anxiety over time pushed people towards exploring those futures and careers. Indecision created anxiety, not knowing, I don't know what I want to do. I'm so anxious. Making a decision helped reduce anxiety. Increase in exploration also reduced anxiety. So once people started to explore their future, actively thinking about where they wanted to go, it reduced anxiety.
Visualization
of, if I do this, this is what I will be. You know what? I want to do that. This is my gap analysis, where I am, where I want to go. I've decided I want to do that. My anxiety is reduced. And then finally, making a decision decreases anxiety, and that increased it the most. The anxiety was, decreased. It was the highest decrease was making the decision. That's true in relationships too. Yeah. When you're having struggles in a relationship and you're anxious all the time, when you finally decide, you know what, we're going to make it through this, we're going to work together and get through this, your anxiety goes down when you have two committed people. Yeah. When you make the decision of, that's it, this relationship ends, oh my gosh. Have you ever felt relief where you finally were able to make that decision?
Yeah, so living in the middle of the I don't know, I don't know, is temporary, but you cannot stay long.
What do you want to do? I don't know. What do you want to do? I don't know. And then everyone's anxious.
Yeah.
Discipline now bridges your decision to action. It gives you consistency and structure, which are the keys to transforming decisions into results. Research demonstrates that discipline in practice leads to a higher achievement and satisfaction. Maintaining focus despite challenges solidifies habits and ensures progress. That makes sense, huh?
Yeah, create the habit is the good part.
The success habit. So
because when you have some routine, you're begun to do stuff in the better way versus we talking early this morning about the people, the word discipline.
It's a tough word, right?
It's a tough word. So people thinking, oh, that is sacrifice, it is uncomfortable area. So discipline, I don't like that.
I agree. That I think we also discussed talking about it as conscientiousness. Is that when you are conscientious, you know that you want to achieve something and that you take responsibility for it now and in the future, that is the consistency of behavior. It gives you a consistency of behavior. So we're talking about discipline as consistency of behavior, not as you smack yourself if you don't do it. You know, it's not that kind of discipline.
No, and also you remember that we're talking about when somebody wanna be entrepreneur in the business.
Yeah.
Okay, so say, okay, yes, I am tired for be employees. I don't wanna have a boss in my life. Yep. I wanna be entrepreneur. But when you are entrepreneur, you need to have discipline because you need to have a schedule that your time is not 8 hours like your office. Now it's 12 or 14 hours. And you don't want to make the same money that you make in the past. And it's a lot of stuff that you need to organize yourself because you can be terrible or worse when you don't have discipline. So be entrepreneur is something that you don't have nobody to tracking your target, tracking your goal, tracking your job.
You got
to
do it yourself.
Yeah, do it yourself.
So that's discipline. Let's go on with a study. A study presented at the 2019 15th International Strategic Management Conference talked about work discipline and self-efficacy, which have a statistically significant positive effect on the employee's career satisfaction. And I'll explain that in a minute. Self-efficacy refers to an individual's belief in his or her capacity to execute behaviors necessary to produce specific performance attainments. So it talks about one is the discipline to work and the belief that you can do the right stuff. So discipline you can always work on, right? Be disciplined as I am going to work at this. The self-efficacy is training, is knowledge, is understanding whatever that career is, that profession is, that thing that you want to do. You want to ride a motorcycle? Take lessons. Practice it.
Yeah.
You just can't say, okay, I'm going to do it, and then I'm going to be disciplined, and you know, I'm going to think about it every day, and I'm not going to do it.
And then you take a motorcycle, you fell, and
boom.
You broke
it. Oh, that's
your
it. So it's twofold. And the keys to success are self-efficacy, belief that you can do something, and the knowledge that you can do it, which is built upon the fact that you are trained and well-trained in it. Anxiety can block performance. The performance itself grows from that, and satisfaction grows from that. So self-efficacy is something we can work on by building our strength, our inner core, our knowledge. If we play guitar and we practice, at some point we feel we're good enough, and then our anxiety goes down, our performance goes up. It's not just that we're good at playing, but we feel we're good at playing, which reduces anxiety, and then performance goes up. Anxiety and performance are indirectly, you know, oppositely proportioned. So that's one thing we want to do is reduce anxiety by being better at whatever it is, better at a relationship, better at our job, better at some hobby. And the better we get at it, the more we feel we're good. And then our performance goes up just because of anxiety being lower. And also our skill is higher, meaning we'll be more satisfied. And when we come back, we're going to talk more about satisfaction.
Self-efficacy.
No, we're not going to talk about that. Well, we're going to talk about more about the action antidote to anxiety.
Once upon a time, there was a couple and a newborn baby. Or should I say, a single mum. This brave young lady left her 9-to-5 job to follow her passion and started a consulting business. Her friends helped out. She traveled the world, met new people, and again came home. The woman dated to find a man who would fill her life and fit her plan. She met a guy who checked out ladies. That burned her up. That made her crazy. Other guys were full of verve, into their self, no room for her. And one time she met a man with patch over eye and axe in hand. Then one day she had enough. Her little boy was all grown up, tired of attracting the wrong type of guy. It was time to give something else a try. She got her computer and started to plan and created a process to find her man. Soon she went on a perfect date, and then she knew it must be fate. In just 90 days, that is all it took. How she found her match? It is in the book.
Welcome back to 90 Day Soulmate with Lizette
and Jim.
Today we're talking about action, the antidote to anxiety. We're up to step four, which is implementing the plan, which is the action, actually taking action. Actions are tangible expressions of our thoughts and decisions. So once we've thought about it, once we've decided, now we have the discipline to move forward. The action itself is the tangible. It's the real expression of our thoughts and decisions. This becomes very interesting in a minute here. Engaging in concrete actions reduces anxiety. We talked about that. By focusing energy on productive tasks, not worrying about the future, but actually worrying about the task. And when we focus on a task, it reduces our anxiety. Every step taken in progress towards mastery and control over one's life. Every step we do is taking control over that. Acceptance and commitment therapy, which is an action-oriented approach to psychotherapy that stems from traditional behavior therapy and cognitive behavioral therapy. Stop being stuck. The idea is to stop being stuck, stop avoiding, stop denying, and stop struggling with your inner emotions and start doing. Accept deeper feelings are appropriate, that you're going to have feelings, and they're appropriate responses to the situations you may be in. But these should not stop you from moving forward. You should accept the hardships and commit to making necessary changes in your behavior regardless of feelings. It's acting despite how you feel. And we have to learn to do that.
Yeah.
But it's going from the frozen to going, you know what? This is when you become brave. This is like the definition of being brave, is that you're going to act despite that you may have anxiety or fear. You're going to do it. And the more you do it, the more that self-efficacy kicks in. You feel, hey, I can do this. Mm-hmm. And you build. And this is what you're built for. You as an organism, we as organisms, we're built to grow. Increase psychological flexibility, predicted improvements in anxiety symptoms. So the more psychological flexibility you had, that your anxiety would become lower. Metacognition, which we talked about before, the ability to think about how you think, is the awareness of one's thoughts, their processes, and an understanding of the patterns behind them. Self-reflection pertains to the ability to think about oneself. And again, self-certainty involves the ability to potentially doubt and even consider alternative ways to think about a given event. Again, our ability to think differently about how we feel about things is in proportion to us having more flexibility and also reducing anxiety. Flexibility in thinking helps reduce anxiety. Okay, I can be worried about this, or I can go, how do I do something different to try to do something now, because I only have control of now, to get a different result. And step five, we talked about observing and recognition, enhancing growth. When you monitor the progress and outcomes, you will get essential feedback for continuous improvement. Recognizing achievements boosts morale and reinforces positive behaviors. Emotional regulation through self-reflection promotes adaptation and resilience. Again, it's increasing your emotional intelligence.
But it's again, the point about observing. So monitoring your progress is important, because this is also the other, my auto therapy, when you go to bed in the night. So you need to evaluate, monitor what I did today, okay? And do your own, you know, good job. Because you
reward.
Achieve that, you reward yourself, and they make a feel thank you.
Yeah.
Because I guess the thank you is a really nice way that your body starts to relaxing and you fall asleep. So it's almost the day therapy, that you monitor it, you evaluate, you recognize what you achieve, and you feel better tomorrow because you have.
You do. And hard work, there's something about hard work, whether that's working out, whether that's doing hard work where you're using your mind, whether you're reading and taking notes, that when you do hard work, it makes you tired and you get good rest, which is the opposite of what anxiety does to you. Mm-hmm. Anxiety makes you stay up all night worrying. You know, I've got this adrenaline and I don't want to go to sleep. Whereas if you do this mental work, if you do this physical work, if you're doing stuff, at the end of the day, you're
action.
Like, boom, you fall asleep. Action. So did we talk about that there?
Not yet.
Integrates the thought. So impact of the five-step plan. It will integrate thought and action, reducing anxiety, increasing personal efficacy. Empowers individuals to take proactive steps towards mental health. And builds a sustainable cycle of personal development and resilience that can be repeated over and over and over. I'm going to get into this slide in a second, which is the difference between action and thought.
Mm-hmm.
Thought gets us in trouble, right? Action gets us out of trouble. We can't think our way of, we can think of coming up with a way of doing something to get us out of trouble, but the only way to do that is actively think. If we're just doing, let's go on to what the slide says. Thought is timeless. You project or reflect on the past, the present, the future. Meaning thought can be anywhere. You can be thinking about things that happened. You can project things that are going to happen. You can reflect. But again, because it's timeless, it your body will react like it's real, even though you're just imagining it. Action is only possible right now. You can stand, you can sit, you can run, you can eat. You can only do it right now. You can read, you can take notes, you can study, you can create new information. And when you do that, you are changing yourself, whether it's physically or mentally.
Mm-hmm.
So the only action is the only way you can change yourself. In the past, when we went to public school in the United States, is you were kind of forced to learn, and maybe you didn't find that something that was happy for you to do, but it was moving you towards change.
Yeah.
Now, if you want to continue change, learn new stuff, and grow, you need to take that on and be disciplined about it. Again, that's the difference between action and thought.
I like that.
Action can be, well, I'll go back to thought. Thought can be judgmental. You can be biased. You can filter. You can be impacted by emotions, where action can be distracting and proactive. While you're studying, exercising, or doing a hobby, you can't really think about the past, future, or present other than what you're doing, especially if it's an all-involving thing you're doing. I need to study 3 chapters because I've got a test tomorrow. I need to work on this new scale I'm working on my guitar. I want to go out and run, and I'm running to the best of my ability, and I'm pushing my body where I'm lacking oxygen. It's really hard to think of more than what I am doing at the moment.
Yeah.
And what you're doing at the moment is you're building yourself physically, you're building yourself mentally to reduce that anxiety that you would otherwise have if you were just thinking,
oh, I need to do that, but I don't feel.
So action is much more, action so much better. Yeah. And active thinking is part of action. So studying, thinking about what you want to change, when you look at all those alternatives. That is an active way of thinking. We don't want to passively think, we want to actively think. It's hard to think and act at the same time. It's hard to have 2 thoughts in your head at the same time. Active participation in life equals mental, physical, and spiritual growth. It's a chance for change. Action.
Action.
Right? That's it. So we want action. A-C-T-I-O-N.
It's the antidote.
It's the antidote. So let's see what else we got here. Oh, the 3 steps. What you can do. How you can move forward. Start today. Embrace the journey of action as your antidote. Take the first step towards reducing anxiety through directed action, whether that be physical or mental action that you direct, looking for alternative ways of solving your challenges or directing your growth. Connect as part of this action, engage with a supportive community or therapist to maximize your journey. The more you connect with like-minded individuals, the more you will be distracted and grow happily in the direction you want. Consistency, we talked about discipline. Remember, consistent action not only reduces anxiety, but also builds a foundation for a fulfilled life. We like that little slide, walking into a brighter future together, hand in hand, that way. Thank you for listening to us on our actionable show, Action, the Antidote to Anxiety. I'm really excited about this. This was something that was fun, huh?
Yes, it was more fun. Energy.
We learned. We hope you learned.
You're listening to 90 Day Soulmate with the Relationship Engineers, Jim Golnick and Lisette Guevara, only on LA Talk Radio.